Hello friends, here we are, Chapter 8, Performance Appraisal, the most challenging process for an employee to face in any organization. More so in today's global working, performance appraisal is very, very dicey. Okay, so let's see what we're going to be studying in this. The objectives of this chapter is, you should be able to understand after studying the chapter, what is performance appraisal? Importance of performance appraisal. How performance appraisal is conducted in an organization. Different methods of performance appraisal. Problems faced in performance appraisal. The structure is in 7 parts. Nature of performance appraisal 8.1. Importance of performance appraisal. Followed by performance appraisal process. The annual performance appraisal cycle. Current methods of performance appraisal, contemporary methods of performance appraisal, and problems faced in performance appraisal. Let me also remind you that whatever is being covered in this module is based on certain bookish inputs. Now, those have to be necessarily understood by every person who has to know how performance appraisal started. Now, most of these may not be getting followed in many companies. So as I'm narrating this, there are certain changes that have already happened. Now we have to take this as a norm and then start understanding how the recent forms of appraisals are going on. I'll add to that while I'm talking so that this is not seen in isolated context. Because some of these things are really not being followed in some places. But they have to be studied for the purpose of understanding the subject. Right? So here we are, nature of performance appraisal. Performance appraisal is an objective assessment of an individual's performance against well-defined benchmarks. The key words are objective assessment and defined, well-defined benchmarks. There's a certain benchmark, there's a certain expectation set at the place at which you're working, at the position at which you're working. For a year or a quarter or a half year, a certain benchmark, a certain deliverable is set for you. Now again, the tricky part of the deliverable has got two components, qualitative and quantitative. Qualitative is that which can't be measured, like behaviors, attitudes, values, etc. And those are subjectively understood by people, unfortunately. If I have to know your attitude, then I will look at your attitude from my point of view. I may be right, I may not be right. This is the qualitative aspect of performance appraisal. Quantitative is measurable, that's easy. Whatever you're performing, it is related to the measurables. The measurables is what ultimately gives you the rewards. But then the qualitative part of it plays a very, very tricky subjective role. So when we say in the very first line, objective assessment, it's important that my assessment about your attitudes, my assessment about your behaviors, my assessment about your value system, etc., have to become as far as possible objective, which is practically impossible. Every human being has got his own bias. However objective I want to be, however job-oriented I want to be, but there'll be some trace of my subjectivity when I'm appraising you. This is a reality, let's accept it. Let's not talk ideals. And this is actually happening in every place with every human being. I may create beautiful appraisal systems which is supposed to be objective, but when the human intervention takes place, there is bound to be certain subjectivity. We would not say it is bad, we would not say it is good, but it happens. That's a reality. How to maneuver it? There are ways and means of doing it. The second bullet point on the screen is an employee is assessed on several factors. What are you assessed on? Factors like job knowledge. Do you know how to do your job well? Do you have the skills and the competencies? The quality and the quantity of output, the initiatives taken by you. Now, this is the intangible, which you can't measure. Leadership qualities displayed by him, etc. Just to name a few, right? Performance management or performance appraisal refers to the entire process of appraising performances, giving feedback to the employees and offering rewards to them. So there's a term called performance management, which is covering, among other things, performance appraisal as well as giving feedback to the employees and also offering rewards and also maybe going in for training and development. That's a macro expression in which performance appraisal is present. Earlier, organizations used to focus on employees' past performance only. Long back, almost about 3 or 4 decades back, performance appraisal means what have you done last year. Based on that, there was a reward punishment given. Okay, which is not the, actually the purpose of a performance appraisal. But these days, organizations are focusing not only of your past performance, which is taken as a feedback to correct things, but also focusing on the future projections which you are supposed to do. Right? Performance appraisal are very useful to both the employee and the organization. From the organization's point of view, promotions are effected. E here, not A. Promotions are created. Promotions are facilitated on the basis of an employee's performance and competence and skills. What is the importance of performance appraisal? Training and development needs of the employees are assessed to confirm the service of the employee who complete the probationary period satisfactorily. So you're taken in the company, there is a period in which you're learning, you're getting yourself into the job. That period is a probation period, in which after the probation is over, there is a performance appraisal done to confirm you. Decide upon the pay rise of the employee. Determine whether the recruitment selection and training provided have been effective or not. So it's a stock taking about the new employee who has come in, who has spent about 6 months or something doing a probation. He's worked on the job, he's developed some skills, he has displayed some attitudes. All those things are taken care of. Then we also say, do we need to confirm him as a permanent employee and raise the pay? And whether the recruitment selection and the training provided has been adequate enough or not. Performance appraisal lets the employees know, it lets you, the employee, know how the performance stands compared to your peers, people at the same level, the department and the organization in the larger context. So it lets you know how much of contribution you're doing in terms of the larger purpose of the organization. It improves communication, as a line manager can provide a clear picture to the employee in terms of past performance and future goals. Performance appraisal requires a very, very good communicator. Wrong words, wrong tone, wrong body language can give a different signal to the employee, and vice versa. So your whole communication skills are tested when you're actually conducting a performance appraisal with one another. Okay? Employee's point of view. It provides an employee an insight. He looks within him where his performance stands as compared to his peers and department performance. Am I doing well? Am I in line with my peers? Am I doing what is expected by the department and the company? So he gets a feedback. Feedback given to him by the line manager helps him to improve his behavior, output, and overall performance. Performance appraisal process, how is it operating? Let's try to understand them in the following points. The objective of the appraisal, ultimate goal of and purpose of the appraisal is to consider promotions, transfers, assessment of training needs, reward the person, in short. It's a stock taking about what you have promised last year and what you've actually done. If there's a gap, study the gap, try to understand why the gap took place. And now, to that, what do I give you? Do I promote you? Do I transfer you? Do I need to send you for training program and assess your training needs? All those things are the basic purpose of an appraisal system. Second point, establish job expectations. Setting and resetting job expectations. Now we talk about the future. You've done this much so far. Now we expect this from you in the future. Design appraisal programs. The methodology to be adopted for appraisal depending upon the variable parameters. Now this is subjective from company to company, position to position, depending upon what you're trying to assess. By what method do I appraise you? Do I have a single one interview with a sheet of paper on which you filled in your self-appraisal forms? Or do I go through a 360 degree appraisal? Now the appraisal methodology is determined by the company's appraisal policy, the performance management policy, A, and also by the design of the different positions and what is expected from them. So this is a subjective thing and it varies from company to company in terms of its positional requirements. Appraise a performance. the act of appraisal conducted by the appraiser, the immediate supervisor, or the appointed appraiser. Appraising means the person is given a feedback about what he has promised, what he is doing, and what is expected from him. It's like giving him a feedback in which it is constructive to him. Remember one thing, appraisal is always a constructive process, not a destructive process. Some people perceive it as destructive, as if somebody is coming down to punish you and not give you promotion, deny you promotion, even sack you. Appraisal is supposed to be a constructive feedback of the performance to the employee. And to that effect, the appraiser is usually the immediate supervisor, the boss. But in many cases, they appoint a neutral party, an appraiser from a different department or maybe from outside, with all the inputs given to him about the past performance of the employee. So this appraisal has to be taken as a constructive feedback. So those of you who are appraising your employees, please make it a point to make it constructive. Do not use words which are going to make the person feel down in morale. Expect them to be enthusiastic about doing something better. Give them the push and the motivation when you do the appraisal. The appraisee, on the other hand, has to also take the appraisal from a very constructive feedback. Your own thoughts, your own programming in your brain can create a lot of havoc. A good word told by somebody may be taken as a bad word by you, and vice versa. Right? So it's very important that the appraisal process has to be properly understood by both parties. It's a very, very sacred process which has to be done properly for the larger purpose of the company's health. The fifth point on the slide is archiving, storing performance appraisal data. Whatever I've done last year and year before that and the year before that, all that is kept as a stored data so that I see the progress about how things are going from then till now and to the future projections. For storage and feedback of historical performances, performance appraisal and outcomes. Okay? How is a performance appraisal cycle run? Now here there's a mention of annual performance. Now performance need not be annual, it can also be quarterly, half yearly and also annual. But annual is what is done anyway but by all companies. So the annual performance appraisal cycle involves the following steps. You appraise yourself, that is self-appraisal. The employee notes down his own performance and appraises himself. This is quite challenging because you have to first ask yourself a question, have I done this, have I not done this? Have I promised this? You know, we all have our blind spots. We tend to get a little soft on ourselves. So we may miss out on the real things which we have done or not done. So self-appraisal is pretty challenging and you have to learn to be objective to your own self. Learn not to be too soft on yourself, because if you are soft on yourself, you'll be missing out on certain things which you did not do or which you did, which is not good for your job function. Also, you will not be able to perform better with a positive attitude when challenges are coming to you. So self-appraisal is really a good self-development process if you ask me. And people should learn to be appraising themselves regularly. Forget about job functions. Even in your own life, sit down every day and appraise yourself. What have I done today? What's my input? Have I really lived up to some plans which I made for the day? Because this is like giving yourself a feedback. It puts you in a responsible position. Number two, preparation of the performance review. The formal structure with an informal approach. Formal structure means there's a form in which you fill in everything, and then with the informal approach, one has to take the performance review. The actual performance review is the point number three, the meeting, to reach at a mutually agreed conclusion and course of action for the future to achieve the objectives. It's a dialogue between the appraiser and the appraisee, and in that they exchange information about each other, expectations from one side, what have I done from this side, and both of them have to come on a mutually agreed dialogue. Completion of performance appraisal form. After doing all these things, both appraisal are over, you sign, you fill in a few things, you scratch, you circle something, all details that are relevant and required by the appraiser to be furnished to completion by the appraisee. So at the end of the day, after the appraisal is over, maybe 1 or 2 hours, whatever time you spend with him or her, you have to first complete the performance appraisal and give it to him as a final document, wherein everything has been discussed, agreed upon, and then finally you're submitting it. Some methods of performance appraisal are coming in the following slides. One of them is a rating scale, the very old method. Some places they still follow this, highly subjective, I would say. So in the rating method, there's a job performance criteria that is given in column number 1. Does he take initiative? How is his quality of work? How is the quantity of output? That is measurable at least. Attendance, measurable. Cooperation, not measurable. Attitude, not measurable. So all this is given, and there's a scale from 1 to 5. Poor to excellent. Poor to excellent. Poor means very poor initiative, and excellent means he takes great initiative. Now, who decides this appraiser? Could this be subjective? The answer is yes. So this scale is a very old scale which used to be followed. Even now, many companies are modifying this and following it. But anything that is subjective is bound to have a bias. And if the appraisal system is not done properly, the appraiser, if he's a supervisor of the employee, and if he had some problem with him, he may try to give him a lower rating on qualitative skills, qualitative attributes. In a qualitative attribute, people can pull you down and make it subjective. On quantitative output, nobody can pull you down because it's a proof that's already there. There is nothing human. It's a non-human part of your performance. So this is one thing you have to be aware of. And this is one type of a system which is not much followed in many companies these days. Now that is explained here, whatever I spoke about. Job performance criteria is listed as attributes needed for doing the job. A qualitative rating scale is created with poor on one end and excellent on the other end. Poor being very low performance, excellent being more than expected performance. Being a qualitative rating method, it can be subjective and may not really be in line with the actual performance of the appraisee. Okay, so this is something but we need to know that such a system is existing. Okay, next we come to checklist. A checklist is also subjective in many respects. If you notice in that format, under this method, a checklist of statements on traits of the employees are listed in a column. There are certain expected traits, certain expected behaviors, certain expected attitudes. These are listed there. A sample is given there. 5 of them are given. Does the employee have adequate knowledge about the job? Now, when you say adequate knowledge, define knowledge in terms of measurable. What is adequate knowledge for me may not be the adequate knowledge for you. So have I defined it? First define it, whether the adequate knowledge means what? It means A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, which is measurable. Does the employee comply with the safety regulations? Is the employee's attendance satisfactory? Now, what is satisfactory? Out of 6 days a week, if he comes for 5 days, is 5 days satisfactory? Is 2 satisfactory? Is 1 satisfactory? It could be subjective, right? Does the employee cooperate with co-workers? How do you measure cooperation? Don't know. Being goody-goody, is there cooperation? Many people think that cooperation means being goody-goody. It's not being goody-goody at the workplace. It's much more than that. I not only cooperate with you, I not only respect you, I also get work done. Both are important. So this can't be, understood. Okay? It could be subjective in other words. Does the employee's work meet the quality standards? Now, this is a type of checklist. And this checklist is binary, yes or no. There's nothing in between. No gray area. So this checklist can be highly subjective, and it is like a quick reference point to do something. Now, what is that something is anybody's guess. But this was there, it had evolved. This has also evolved into something better than this now, right? Now we come to the forced distribution or the bell curve method. Many of you must be knowing about bell curve. Those of you are working in projects in IT companies, you must be experiencing the bell curve frequently when you work in different projects. What are we doing in this? This method assumes that the average employee performance levels conforms to a normal statistical distribution resembling the bell curve. To put it in simple terms, this is a bell curve which you see. On the x-axis is a performance which we are the performance quantum. On the y-axis is a number of employees. Now, 10% to 100% is what is the expected thing on the other side. 10 on this side, and this is a minus 10, the other one is plus 10, which means the ones on the left of the bell curve, the hump of the bell curve on the top that you see, this hump is supposed to be the average. So most of the people, they 40% of the people would be somewhere in this area. Whereas 20% will be below 40, there may be 20% will be below that, and 10% will be much below that. These are called the laggards, those who are falling behind the average. Then there are the people who are the leaders. Now those are the ones which are plus 20% of them are in this particular zone. In this zone, 20% of them are there. And the 10%, the super performers, are on this side. Now what happens in a team of 100 people working? Obviously, as far as output is concerned, it's measured. So you put them in a bell curve. Now in the bell curve, what happens? It is assumed that 10% are excellent or outstanding, 20% are good, 40% are average, 20% are below average, and 10% are unsatisfactory. Next, what happens? The 10% unsatisfactory are asked to improve their performance or leave the organization or the project. Whereas promotions and pay hikes are given to the excellent 10% and the good 20%. In this method, the rater cannot be lenient on his rating merit. He can't be lenient. This is based on actual factors that are there in front of you, measurables. But again, there's a catch. The catch is that every project you're handling has got certain challenges. I must have been the super performer of the 10% or the 20% that side in one project. And I've also got rewards and awards and even promotions and increments. Now they are migrating me, that project is over, they're migrating me to another project. This project is very challenging. It's not my cup of tea and my skills are not very high or my competence are not that high, but I'm okay. So I may be learning while the work is going, I may be learning. So slowly what might happen is from the 10%, 20% on the right hand side, I may slowly come to the medium side in between, in the 40% bracket, I'll be there. This might happen. So in this 40%, my performance will not be seen as it was seen in the other project. There I was seen as a super performer, and that was actually with respect to that project. Here I'm seeing as an average performance. Worst case scenario, I might be in the 20% or the 10% on the left hand side, laggards. And that can become a bit of a shock for the performer from one project to another project. It can become a shock. This does upset employees in many scenarios. So some companies, in their own wisdom and their overall study of the whole thing, they have done away with this once for all. They don't use a bell curve anymore. Two major IT companies, large ones, they have stopped taking this, and they have a different system of doing it, right? This is an excellent system. The rating system is superbly done. Only thing is that this particular way of rating it on a project-to-project basis, on an assignment-to-assignment basis, becomes quite stressful. The purpose of doing that is to see that we get the best out of the employees and also to reward them well when the project is going on well. But many times, the employee morale gets affected in a bad way. See, we are all used to being either a good performer as an attitude, or we may not be a good performer because we are having a different attitude. There's a certain amount of expected consistency from every one of us. Right? Now, if you see me as a performer, so I carry that thing with me, but when I'm going to a certain project where I'm actually have to learn and do something new, this performance ecology of mine will get affected. It's a behavioral issue. So this is something that started with the best of intentions has actually backfired in many cases. So in the classroom, when I'm discussing bell curve, there'll be a lot of murmur, a lot of students, people from industry, for example, they'll always tell me, sir, band karo, because bell curve is a very, very obnoxious thing, they say. It is not. It is not. It has got its own plus points, which is to be properly understood. I would say prepare the employees well in advance by doing some training and development so that when they go from project to project, they need to know that they are working like commandos. So when you have the commando type of spirit, you'll realize that how beautiful it is for us to go ahead project to project. This keeps you on the toes. Okay, it's important for us to understand it in a very positive, proper perspective. Right? Now we come to the fourth one, critical incident method. Certain critical behaviors needed for the job functions are focused upon and studied during the course of the employee's work. For example, if you're a salesperson, one of the critical behaviors is how are you talking to an ugly customer, a customer whose behavior is very bad but is important for me. That critical behavior, how you do it is observed. And if you do it well, tick mark. If you're not able to handle it, then you are not a very good salesman. Just to give you one tiny example. So you must map what are the critical behaviors in your own profession, in your own careers. Are those critical behaviors being displayed by you properly? Because those critical behaviors may be appraised in the critical incident method in your company. There's an example given there, reducing the call duration in a call center from say 5 minutes to 3 minutes. That's a critical incident. Are you doing it? Are you changing your behavior from a 5 minute call into a 3 minute call? Or in a factory, the supervisor increasing the machine utilization higher to 30% compared to last year. Is he doing it? These critical incident methods is useful as it is based on actual job behavior. Right? Next, we go to BARS, B-A-R-S, Behaviorally Anchored Rating Scales. What are these? BARS is a technique which combines the rating scale and the critical incident method. Two things are there. In a critical incident method, I am listing the type of behaviors which are critical that need to be displayed. On the rating scale, I say these behaviors have to be done and I rate you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. Now, these two are combined together. Thereby, you are asked to conduct this behavior which is expected from you, which is told to you in advance, and then you assess how well you're going on the scale. The other thing that is done in BARS is you have somebody who's actually doing very well. So he or she becomes a role model. Observe the person's behavior and start imbibing it in yourself. It is called as a, you know, you get inspired by somebody and you start doing modeling on the person's behavior on yourself. It consists of predetermined critical areas of the job performance and sets of behavioral statements describing important job performance qualities as good or bad. The qualities like interpersonal relationships, adaptability to situation, reliability in your delivery, job knowledge, etc. These are all critical things that you need to do, and there are certain performance qualities that are put in a scale form, and then you are assessed on that. These statements in the rating scales are developed from critical incidents. In this method, a research is done, by the way, to know which are the critical incidents. It is not subjective. In this method, an employee's actual job behavior is judged against the desired behavior by recording and comparing the behaviors with the BARS. BARS is a standard. Developing and practicing BARS requires expert knowledge. It needs research. It needs very good behavioral scientists to help us out. Next comes the SA method. As the name indicates, in this method, the rater describes the employee in a descriptive way, as descriptive as possible. You have been a very diligent employee. You have done this thing. You know, like an essay, the person writing descriptively about that person. It's more like qualitative and quantitative both getting merged into one narration. It covers the rater's overall impression of the employee's performance, his promotion, jobs he is able to perform, training and development needed by the employee, etc. This method is more useful than the earlier methods as it gives a comprehensive description of the employee. Let's face it, at the end of the day, human beings form opinions about others. Whatever may be the objective way in which I'm doing appraisal, I have an opinion about you. And my opinion comes out when I narrate about you. Don't you agree? As a behavioral trainer, I can tell you one thing, that if I want to know somebody, just talk to the person informally and talk and talk and talk, and you come to know how he holds you and how you're holding him in your head. And that gives an ample feedback to the person. While I'm doing the role of an appraiser, at the same time, I also speak out my mind about you. At the same time, it doesn't sound offensive. So all these things is packaged in one single thing like an essay method. It is time consuming and depends on writing skills of the rater. He has to write properly. The appraisal might be influenced by the content rather than the actual performance of the employee. Content means what? I may be putting in my own biases while I'm talking, while I'm writing down the essay. Possible. But then in the narration, when people are usually writing something on in the essay form in an appraisal, they don't write everything offensive. They won't write everything that is goody-goody. There'll be a balance. Ultimately, that is also going to the top management to be seen. So you would be cautious about it, usually, right? Ranking method. In this method, the superior ranks his subordinates in the order of merit, starting from best to the worst. Now, this is very stressful. The method just focuses on that one employee is better than the other, comparing employees. It does not question as to how or why this ranking has been arrived at. This helps in deciding the merit pay increases. I say X is better than Y, so X gets a pay increase or a promotion or other organization reward. It suffers from many biases such as the halo effect. Now, what's a halo effect? We'll see further. Thank you very much.